afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and this is the one show where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. I'm excited to be here with you today on Monday, August the 27th, as we round out the summer. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Labs. If you have a bath and body products line, why do all the work yourself? Essential Labs will manufacture your products under your label, so you have the time you need to market your products and expand your brand. Essential Labs, professional, reliable, yours. Visit EssentialLabs.com today to find out more. Well, the more I work with business owners all across the country, the more I meet men and women who have a keen desire to be in business together. A lot of times they have kids or they just have mutual interests, and they want to work together in a way that brings home the bacon, but which also allows them to spend more time together as a couple and also be at home and more available to their children than ever before. And for anybody out there who's interested in transitioning into that lifestyle, we have got some great show guests for you today, people who've been there, done that, and are in the trenches making it work. I'm calling this show Beauty, Business, and Blood because it's all about the beauty business and two people who are related in the family and keeping the business there as well. Today I'm excited to have Bill and Debbie Brink. They are out of Ohio, and they are the owners of Pure Enchantment. They make spa-quality bath and body products, including these wonderful lotion bars, which they're going to tell us about on the show today. And they're going to share a little bit about their story and give you some tools that you can use to start a business in the family and keep it there. Bill and Debbie Brink, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Thank you, Donna.
Thanks, Donna.
It's wonderful to have you guys. Now, I just have to start this show by sharing with all of my listeners how challenging it was to get you guys to come on this show. I am so happy to have you here. I think it's been months and months since I've been asking, and I always said whenever I got you guys on this show, I was going to start by thanking you so much for accepting my invitation. And I know part of the reason why it took a little bit of time is part of your story. So, Debbie, why don't you start us off by giving us a little bit of background about how you started your business and why it took so long for me to get you guys on this show.
Okay, Donna, sure. Well, we were actually on a family vacation looking for gifts to bring home to some of my husband's secretaries, and we saw a woman that had made natural soaps. And they were so pretty, and I'd never tried it, and we thought, let's get these. They were great. Of course, I had to get one for myself, and I used it that night and, you know, said to my husband, I said, feel my face. It's so soft and smooth, and never, ever went back to regular soap after that because my skin was just wonderful. I continued to talk to this woman that I had met in North Carolina, and she became my mentor, and we would visit her on vacation, and I kept saying I was going to do this when I retire, and lo and behold, I couldn't wait anymore. She says, go get this book, and from Sandy Main, and I began reading that and researching and experimenting with recipes, and just it all began there.
Well, that's so, and now when was that, Debbie? When was the first time you decided to, you know, you tried the soap and you decided to try some yourself?
That was probably in 2000. Probably in 2000.
Okay. So your background is, I mean, you don't have a body products business background before that?
None at all. I was in sales with real estate. I worked for a title company and you know, worked with the realtors and sales of homes. So that's what I was doing at that time.
And how about you, Bill? What were you doing?
Actually, I was in real estate also. I was managing a office for a larger company in the Cleveland area. So we were both in real estate.
But you had nothing to do with beauty products, I guess, other than buying them off the shelf like everyone else.
No.
And so, I mean, what was it that made you think, and I know it's been several years now, it may take a little bit of effort to really kind of go back into your head, because so many people, you know, see something or see a business model and they think, you know, I'd really like to do that, but, you know, there's a string of reasons why. So Bill, what kind of went through your head back then when you guys really started thinking, maybe we can make a business out of this? But you both had full-time jobs that were paying all the bills.
Well, and I laughed because Debbie had mentioned to do it when we retire, and we have five kids, 18 and under, and I kind of looked at her and I said, well, babe, we're not going to be retiring anytime soon.
It's going to be a while.
Yeah, but she got the bug, and actually what kind of kicked it off is we did our daughter's craft show. She's a cheerleader, and Debbie whipped up some product, and, you know, we went online, made some labels on our computer, and the people loved it at the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the catalyst that made us both start thinking, you know, this has got possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a lot of research into products and started looking at trends in the business. And, you know, natural products, not only in skincare, but all over. You know, green is kind of the word now.
Mm-hmm.
We saw as an up-and-coming thing. And I had been in real estate for over 25 years. And you know, I got to the point where, you know, you start hitting midlife and you start saying, okay, what are the things you want to do versus the things you have to do? And as we started talking to people in the natural skincare business, I mean, everybody was so friendly and you know, it was just a really nice feel. And we sat down over a period of time. Now, we first introduced a product in 2000. We didn't open our business till 2003.
So let's talk about that, too. You mentioned you did a lot of research. So back then, Debbie, you're working a full-time job, I'm assuming somewhere around 9 to 5. When did you do all this research with five kids and a husband and a home to manage and goodness knows what else going on in your life?
Well, I did it in the evenings, you know, after come home, have dinner, homework, all that kind of stuff. And I kind of would research on the evenings and look at books and do it on the weekends and just kind of playing with stuff and experimenting and did a little bit here and there wherever I could slip it in.
And when you say evenings, you're not talking, you know, 5:30, 6, 7 o'clock.
No, I'm talking like midnight and, you know.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that for a second because that may be one of the things. I mean, five kids and I mean, you guys are married. There's two of you there, and they're not terribly young. At least the oldest ones aren't, so that may make a difference. But still, it's a lot of work, even just if you're not doing it. If someone's listening and they're thinking, you know, I really want to start this business, but by the time I get my kids down, it's 10:30, and I still got loads of laundry to do. I mean, was it a passion? Was it just you really wanted to eventually leave the job? I mean, what was it that really drove you at midnight?
It was a passion. I mean, it was fun. It was, I just enjoyed it. And the more that I read on it, the more, you know, I wanted to learn. And then I would work on something and somebody may ask me a question. It was like, ooh, I'll check on that. Or I might think of something. Oh, this might be neat or that might be a cool fragrance. And it was just like, it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, then I found myself started thinking more about plans and goals and what I wanted to do with Pure Enchantment and over my day job. You know, I'd be sitting there, I'd be thinking about it, and, you know, we really did a good job separating it, but, you know, you
tough.
Really, yeah, it was tough. You know,
Donna, there's two things I think that affected Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
One, her family background is entrepreneurial.
Okay.
And I think it's in her blood, number
okay.
one.
Okay.
And number two, Debbie, you say, you know, she was a sales background.
Right.
But she loves to cook and bake.
Okay.
Creating natural skincare products, I'd watch her formulate these recipes,
mm-hmm.
and it almost like she was baking a cake in her mind.
Right.
So I think those were the passionate things for her that she saw in the business, and it really got the bug. And, you know, it's funny. When you own your own business, you know, you complain about working 40 hours for a company, and then you put in 90 hours in your own business. But it's the passion that you're really not working.
Does that make it easier to do, even though you actually may be working harder and longer?
Oh, yeah. You know, you know, do what you love, love what you do. And when you have a passion about something, and even if it's, you know, working for, you know, a corporation, I mean, if you're passionate about whatever you're doing, it doesn't seem like work.
Right, right. So here you guys are, you're working full-time jobs, and what is that like? I mean, I know last week or week before last, we did a show on moonlighting, and for those of you who, of course, want to go back and listen to the archives, you can listen to all the shows at indiebusinessradio.com. But we had someone who's actually chosen to work, continue to work full-time and start her business, and everybody on the job knows what she's doing. She talked to her boss about it, and maybe not everybody, but at least her boss knows. So tell me a little bit about how you guys made that kind of transition. Debbie, when you're sitting there doing your work in the middle of the day and a new recipe for a shea butter lotion bar comes into your head, I mean, what do? Jot it down and then get back to your work?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of taking lots of notes or, you know, just making lists of the things I had to do when I got home and, you know, got to the point where I couldn't wait to get home. It was like, you know, the day job began to feel like more of a, how can I go there when I've got all these other things that I need to do? And that was the difficult part. You know, you want to juggle, you want to keep your family first and make sure that's good, and you want to have time for your business, but you can't slack on your day job because that's bringing in your paycheck,
right?
And you got to do a good job, you know. And I always feel if you're working like that, you've got to do right by your company, and you've got to do a great job there. And I always want to put in 100% of whatever I'm doing.
Right.
So you get to a point where you have to make a decision, and that's what happened with Bill and I. It began that we saw this company starting to take fold in places where people were calling, and I heard about it, and my skin is better, and all this stuff. And it was like, you know what? We're getting all these signs that this is taking first place, and we had to make the decision of it. We're going to either take a jump and make the leap and do it now, or sit back, continue with our day jobs, and look back and say we should have done it.
Yeah, because you guys played things really close to your vest for quite some time. I know I took note of your wonderful products and all the great things you were doing, goodness, well over a year ago, and I remember talking with Bill, and Bill, you know, shared with me some of the things that you were thinking when I said, you know, come on a radio show and let me tell everybody about you on the World Wide Web.
Well, the first thing I thought of is our bosses would be listening to your program, and that wouldn't be a good thing.
Okay. Now, what was it that made me, was a conscious decision to keep those worlds totally separate until you were ready?
Yeah, and it was difficult. The first thing that was, I think, helpful is both of our jobs had flexibility to it. We weren't tied to a desk from 9 to 5. And I think if you're tied to a desk, and listeners out there who have, you know, kind of inflexibility where they're not allowed to make phone calls and that sort of thing, that would be really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, both ours allowed us, you know, flexibility. I mean, my job, sometimes I had to work at night, so I could take time off during the day and kind of use, you know, flex time,
right,
type of a thing. So that, I think, made it helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's made it helpful in doing our own business because, you know, if I had been like, oh, say, an engineer that has a very, you know, precise job,
mm-hmm,
the flexibility of owning your own business, I think, would be a tough transition. So that was the first thing. But, well, you know, the decision was, like Deb said, you know, we felt that, you know, first of all, you know, these companies are paying us and we owe them our time, so we kept things very separate.
Sure.
You know, when I would make sales calls, I would forgo my lunch and maybe take my lunch hour to make a sales call,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, an evening or a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do that, and you know, we were up making product at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, getting up at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning before work to pack orders to go. So it was very tough. And then again, you know, you got basketball, football, cheerleading, soccer, you know, choir, you know, all the things for the kids. So
right. So you guys found this new passion in 2000. You started selling products in 2002, I think Debbie said. That's when you started the company formally?
2003.
And then tell me when you both transitioned out of your full-time job.
I transitioned in August of 06, and Debbie was March of 07.
Okay, so for anybody out there who's listening, does that seem like a long time, a short time? I know a lot of people think that, you know, they're on a time frame, or when is exactly the right time to do it? How do you know when's the right time to say, okay, I've got this business to the point where I can leave the full-time job? What are your thoughts on that, Bill?
I think it's a feeling, and you know you just kind of I guess pray about it and look for messages, and we got plenty of them, and
like people buying your product,
like people buying our product,
good message, right?
Testimonials, some very high end, high quality spas wanting our product. Our soap, we got so many reviews from people who have eczema and psoriasis that love the product that we said, you know what, not only is this, a business, but it's also helping people, which was nice. But I think, you get to a point. I mean, you can never leave, like, let's say you're making $50,000 in your day job. You can't wait till your business is making $50,000 to transition.
Why not?
Well, one, you have that 40 hours or whatever time you're committing to your full-time job, so you kind of have to project that, okay, if I didn't have my full-time job and I had that extra 40 or 50 hours, obviously you could put that time to your business to make additional monies.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to get to a point where you can project, okay, if I can focus on my business full-time, what would I be able to make? And do it that way. And, and also personally, I mean, like Debbie gives 100% to everything, and when she felt like she wasn't giving 100% to her full-time job anymore, it was uncomfortable for her.
Mm-hmm. So, Debbie, did it help that Bill went first?
It did. I mean, because we talked long about that and who should go first, because I was making the product and he was selling the product.
Mm-hmm.
The huge decision is, all right, who makes the jump? Because you've got to have one, you can't have one without the other. But we made the decision with him first because you got to have the sales before you have the product.
Mm-hmm.
So getting him out there to pick up new accounts and getting more and dealing with the just everyday stuff of going to the printers, making sure the labels were good. I mean, in the midst of all this, we went through a major change of our logo, mm-hmm. and layout of our label. So we had a whole new label design, redesign, and Bill had the time to go and make sure that everything was being done at that point. I have to say it was really hard because as he's here working on the business and I'm going off to work, it was a bummer because I wanted to stay right here with him and do it too.
She was crabby a few days.
I was crabby.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's interesting that you said, Debbie, that you make the products and Bill sells them. It sounds like it's a really natural division of responsibilities for you. Is that the case?
It pretty much is. I mean, there are certainly times where I'll get on the phone and talk to someone or we just did a big show in New York and we were both there, so we were both selling. I mean, with both of us having sales as our background, but I have to say, I really enjoy being there making the product and being kind of by myself, and it's a nice quiet time to work on what I'm doing, and then he's out making the sales, so that's wonderful. I wouldn't change that.
And Donna, as a kind of an advice to couples that are out there thinking about that, we sat down and kind of did the division of labor. We looked at, as we were doing it part-time, what we kind of gravitated to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I not only handle the sales, but I do packaging and shipping. And when it came down to space, as far as, okay, Debbie said, well, I need a new space to make soap. You know, I took responsibility for setting that up. And Debbie, you know, does the manufacturing. She's excellent at marketing. So she, you know, when we need like a flyer or a postcard, you know, that's a thing she really enjoys. And then the accounting part of it. So we sat down and said, look, this is what you're gravitated to. This is what I gravitated to. Now let's formally say, okay, this is what you're going to be responsible for. This is what I'm going to be responsible for. And that helped a lot to organizationally set up our business and the responsibilities.
So do you think that that's really important for, like, what about people who, maybe a couple whose talents and gifts don't necessarily fall down real distinct, you know, obvious lines like yours does? Do you recommend that they still sit down and, you know, try and chart out who's responsible for what?
Yeah, because, one, you're going to waste time duplicating stuff. And the other thing is you probably get into arguments because, well, I'm doing that. No, I'm doing that, you know. I mean, ultimately, I tell Debbie, you know, when she shows me a postcard and she says, what do you think? I said, it looks good and, you know, this and that. But you ultimately, that's your expertise. And the final word is hers on that.
Right, right. So I guess you probably avoid a lot of conflict that way.
Well, you do. And then, you know, you wake up in the morning and all of a sudden, you know, she's packaged some stuff. And I said, wait a minute, you know, I was supposed to do, you know, you avoid that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas, you know, Debbie wakes up and she sees some product that needs to be labeled. She says, that's Bill's thing.
Right.
You know, so we don't, you know, because I wake up with a plan of what I need to do. Debbie wakes up with a plan what she needs to do. And if one of us messes it up...
mm-hmm.
There's a problem.
That's right.
But, you know, I will say a couple really important tips from making that transition to your full-time jobs and making that jump and leap of faith is what it is. Basically, when you do that, you have to sit down. We actually have a meeting. As silly as it sounds, I mean, it might be over dinner, but we're saying, you know what, we're going to have our weekly meeting, and we plan out what's coming up in the next month, what shows we're doing, what spas we're going after, and we make basically a business plan of what's coming up and what we're doing, and then we map out what we're doing for our week, because when you are working together from home with your kids, you know, whatever it might be, you've got, this one's got to go to cheerleading practice, this one's got to be dropped off to golf, this one's got to be dropped off, you know, and then you're looking around, you've got laundry to do. You have to make yourself an actual schedule on paper so that you get up and you get those things done. Otherwise, you get sidetracked, or maybe, you know, someone calls you and they think because you're home, you can talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to set those rules down or your day is gone. And then you're short a day out of the week.
Right, right. So having a schedule sounds like it's really crucial. What about for you guys? I mean, literally, what is a day like for you? I know they're all different with golf on one day, cheerleading on another. But, Debbie, do you find that it's necessary or helpful to keep the business separate from the family when it's all right there in one place? Do you do that? Or, and if so, how? And if not, you know, can you give people some tips on how to consider how to divide all this stuff up?
Well, I mean, the kids have all been really great, and they know what's going on, and they've actually helped us. I mean, my daughter has worked through the summer with the business. She does packaging and works on things that we need done a little bit every day, and so they know, and we
salary?
Go ahead.
Does she earn a salary?
Yes, she does.
That's great. And how old is she?
She's 15.
So this is another option in terms of employment for the young kids in your household that some other people, maybe whose parents don't have a family business, don't have this as an option.
Right, and it's also nice because then it eliminates the I need money for the movies.
Right, and so go package some more products and you'll get that.
Right, and she earns it. And, you know, at 15, it's really hard to find, you know, regular employment because she's old enough, but, you know, most places want you to be 16 or so. So that worked out really well. And we also have separate areas of our house that we have for the business. We're fortunate enough to have a first-floor office, and all our business is in there. The kids are not allowed in there to use the computer or the desk or anything. And then we have a designated area in our basement that is solely the product area, so that helps out a lot. Because, you know, if it was on your dining room table, your kitchen table, and you got to keep moving it, I think that would be difficult.
Well, and you know, and in reality, of course, that's how most people start off. So, so you guys obviously transitioned from that over a period of time, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And so, do you find that when you do, the day is over, the business day is over, you've had dinner, the kids are in bed or off doing whatever it is that they do, and it's time to rest and spend some time together, getting a glass of wine out, maybe some cheese and grapes, and then do you find yourself going, you know, I read about this new essential oil today.
You know what we do, and it's so funny, we were in the similar, you know, the real estate business, and our kids always joked at dinner time because we always talked real estate. Okay. And now they joke because it's like you're just all talking natural skincare products at dinner. And again, it's the passion. I think the one thing that we did come to agreement on is that we don't talk about anything after 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Because we're both tired and the fuse is a little shorter and, you know, you start trying to hammer something out. It's just, you know, you're just not thinking clearly. So we kind of cut any business discussions off at 11 because, you know, we're just tired.
That's such a good tip because, of course, it may be 11 for some people, it may be midnight for others, but what you've just described is the fact that you guys have basically hammered out a way to make it work for you, your personalities, your background, and, you know, all of those kinds of personal things that come into play.
Yeah. And just so the listeners know, I get cranky also.
Okay. See, now, I bet all those wives out there are real surprised about that.
But, so, you know, I mean, she'll ask me something at 11:30, and I'll be like, meh, rah, rah, and I'll just...
now all you have to say is, dear, it's after 11.
Right. Let's talk about it tomorrow because we can't make a decision.
Right. We can't make a decision now. It's too late.
But I will say, you know what, even though it's after dinner and the kids are doing something, you know, because it is the passion and because it's what we eat, drink, and sleep, we find ourselves going back, and I might go to the computer and do billing, or Bill might go down and do packaging. It doesn't stop. You know, it continues all the time, and sometimes, you know, we're still up late at night. But what you have to remember, and we try to remind ourselves and tell each other, is you do have to take time. And you do have to take a moment where you might take that glass of wine and go sit out on the patio and just relax and, you know, soak it all in or go have dinner with friends or do something where you take a break, because it will get to a point where you're just like, you know, I need to just have a moment.
Right. And certainly that's the case.
And the advantage is, you know, working at home together is I'll, you know, she'll be working, I'll be working, I'll say, hey, I'll go make some ham sandwiches. Let's go down on the patio and, you know, take a half hour or 45 minutes and just sit and relax.
Right.
And that's, you know, spending time together.
Right. And that's, of course, always necessary. I'd like you guys to comment on this. Of course, you know, in the media today, there's a lot being written and talked about in terms of work-life family balance. And in general terms, it comes up in the context of doing things like, you know, keeping a balance between work and family and keeping work and family separate so you're not toting your laptop around everywhere you go on the family vacation or whatever. What have you guys found as people who are both married and, you know, co-partners in a business? What have you found in terms of that? I mean, it sounds like you guys are doing, you know, there's such an interconnection between all of it that there really isn't any separation. Is that the case? And if so, is that okay with you?
Well, I have to say, I'm so thankful that Bill, you know, and I both feel the same about this. Our kids are always first. I mean, if there is a football game or there is a baseball game, we're there. I mean, we make our schedules so that we do not miss any of their events. And when we're at those events, we're not there with work. We are there to enjoy and watch our kids. I mean, we look forward to it. We love it. And, you know, that's been so great with the business because it has afforded us to do it. But we also did those in our day job to make sure that we could be there for our kids because, you know, in a few years, I mean, we just sent one off to college this weekend. So they're going to be off doing their things, and we don't ever want to miss it. And that is so important. And your kids, as much as they may say, I don't care, they do care that you're there with them, and that's important to us. And that,
yeah, you know, Donna, I don't want it to sound like, you know, eat, sleep, and, you know, addiction to the business. You know, when you have your own business, you live it. So, yes, you may get an idea at 8, 9 o'clock at night. But, you know, when we go on vacation, we don't take laptops. We will check our voicemail maybe 3 times during the week, and we let all our clients know that we are shut down for the week.
Mm-hmm.
When we're at our son's football game, the cell phone rings. The cell phone doesn't get answered.
Right. It just goes to voicemail.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, in our technology, you know, it's so funny. I remember when they said that the computers would allow us the 4-day work week.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, now it's gone to the, you know, the 7-day because people expect you to be available.
Right, and they expect an email response now.
Yeah, and if you don't call them back in 20 minutes, they're like, well, where were you? Well, you know what? So the old-fashioned value of, you know, I was at a client's this morning setting up a new account, and my cell phone, I have it on vibrate. I looked down, and it was an important client. Mm-hmm. And my first tendency was, oh, maybe I should take this call. I said, nope. These people right here are going to get 100% of my attention.
Right.
And that's the same with our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mentioned it, you know, I was in the real estate business,
mm-hmm.
and I managed 50 realtors, and one thing that really drove me nuts, and I tell these people, they go on vacation, and they sat there on the beach with their laptop, and they'd come back, and they'd be as tired as they before they left.
Well, and, you know, that experience probably served you well because as the I mean, I recently was in the market for a home, and I think we drove our real estate agent nuts.
Right.
I mean, I can only imagine, you know, the demand because, well, and not only that, it's most people are looking for houses. They want you to show the house after they get off work.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Buying a house is an emotional buy, so they're very emotionally charged.
Right.
But actually, one of the things that prompted me to get out of that business was again, I told you I was managing 50 people, and a comment was made to my boss that, gee, Bill's spending too much time with his family. And I would take my flex time, and if my son had a afternoon football game at 4 o'clock or my other son a baseball game, I was there. Because like Debbie said, you know, and cannot stress this enough, no matter what your listeners are doing, is that, you know, your kids grow up in a flash of a blink of an eye, and you can't get those years back. So we always, you know, hey, the business can wait, somebody's order can get shipped tomorrow, but you know what, this cheerleading event is important.
So you guys, you know, there's a lot about that in the media today too. I was reading an article the other day about how bosses manage employees who have children and employees who don't, and sometimes the ones who don't have kids or have family, you know, in a traditional sense, you know, they feel like they have, you know, more responsibilities or ultimately the lion's share of the work falls on them because so-and-so is always at cheerleading practice or whatever. Do you guys find that being in business for yourselves helps you manage those kinds of things? Because, for example, if you know the cheerleading event is on Thursday, then maybe you'll stay up a little later the few days before that at night to get work done that you would otherwise do on that Thursday.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. I mean, we can plan our week and we can plan, you know, we get the schedules for the kids, we map everything out when everything is, and we know what we have to have done and what's coming up so that we can do it. And we know, too, that, you know what, if we're going to go to this event or something, you know, practice calls, we know that we can stay up late and we can do it. You know, we can finish it or work around the schedule. So that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's flexibility.
Right. And it sounds like I've been kind of taking notes from your tips here. Flexibility sounds like organization, family first, and planning your exit from your traditional job and not just jumping ship because you're sick of it.
Right.
Or because you have this huge passion.
Right. And, you know, the last thing is there's never a good time.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you can always come up with, I can't because, my son's going to go to college and I really should stay in this job and because I have that paycheck and the benefits and everything. I can do it in a couple months or I can do it this. We had money put aside to do this. Because, obviously when you start a business, you don't draw a paycheck and it's like Debbie said, we probably have one of the most expensive hobbies of any of our friends, it's kind of like I use the metaphor that, there's two people on the side of a quarry and they look down and they say, I wonder how deep the water is.
Mm-hmm.
And the one says, as they're jumping, I'll let you know when I get to the bottom.
Right, right.
Sometimes you it all feels right, but there's always something that may be in the way, and you just got to one day say, you know what, I'm jumping.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I jumped into real estate from a traditional job because real estate is all commission. You probably know your real estate agent. She's on straight commission.
Mm-hmm.
So I left a job where I got a regular check and jumped into a straight commission job.
Mm-hmm.
And it was scary because you got mortgages, you got car payments. And you know what? It works out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the faith. You got to have the belief. And, you have the drive. And the thing that's nice now for me is I was managing 40, 50 people. I had to worry about them every morning.
Right.
Now I get up and I worry about one person.
Right.
And that's me,
How old are your other kids? One went off to college and the other four are how old?
18 on Friday, 15, 14, and 10. Four boys and a girl.
Okay, wow. So it definitely is a full house at the Brinks home.
That's right.
Tell me, you guys, a little bit about your products and where listeners can go to buy them.
Our signature product is our shea butter lotion bars, and that is a solid lotion that comes in a tin. It pops out of the tin. It's not a balm. It actually pops out, and you rub it on your body. We have a body bar size and a hand bar size. It has shea butter in it. Actually has 30% shea butter in it, and it has avocado, jojoba, and almond oil, and beeswax in it, and we have six different fragrances, and we also have a fragrance-free. And also the same type of bar, we have a foot balm, which is a bar that pops out also, but it is a texturized bar that's great for your feet. For just either one of those are great for moisturizing on the go. They're airplane-friendly, so you can take them through the security without a problem.
Well, that's really important these days.
It's very important, we've gone through with a number of the tin, because they come in a tin,
mm-hmm.
And so they pass through, which is so great. You don't have to throw it away, and it doesn't spill. You can take them to the gym. You can put it in your purse. You can take it to work. It just, and guys don't mind because it's a tin, and they just pop it in their pocket.
You guys just came back from a trade show. Tell me a little bit about that.
We did the extract trade show in New York City.
And you came back with how many new clients immediately off the bat?
Immediately we came back with 10, and we've been back a little over a week, and we've got, two or three more orders from that.
Wow. That's
so that
great.
Was very exciting.
Was that your first extract show?
Yes.
Awesome.
We have done some other trade shows. That was the first one at extract, and it was also in combination with the New York International Gift Show was going on simultaneously.
Right.
So, yeah, that was great.
And tell us, what's your website?
It's pureenchantment.com.
And so we can buy your products online, or can we go there and find out if there's listeners who would like to go to a spa to get some of your stuff. Is there a listing there of spas that carry your products too in different states?
Yes, you can order, you know, we have a shopping cart. You can order online,
mm-hmm.
or you can hit the store locator little icon, and presently we are in five states, and as a result of Extract, we're now international. We just got a location in Costa Rica and in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
They're not on our site yet, but, yeah, if you can find a location near you, that's great, because we'd rather, you know, we mainly wholesale and
mm-hmm.
have our spas and salons, mm-hmm. high-end gifts sell, but, you know, we do have those people that, you know, for instance, we're not in Iowa or, you know, Missouri.
Not yet,
that's true. And if there's anybody out there in Iowa, Missouri, who has a spa or salon, and, you know, wants to carry the product. But, you know, you can go online and order, and then we ship. And if you buy $40 or more, the shipping's free.
And so, Debbie, what's your one of your best trade show tips now that you're fresh from this trade show?
Best tip.
You probably have a lot of them, so you can just pick one.
Well, you know what? I think you got to be organized and ready for the show. When you sign up for these shows, and you got to do your homework on the shows because there's so many to do, but you need to really research it, find out who the attendees are, who's coming. You know, are they business owners, or are they just, you know, people in the industry? You want decision makers to come to these shows because you want them to meet them and rub elbows. And there's a lot of things at the shows that will help you, that you can get some free marketing by being in their directory or being on their online. And so you need to do that stuff up front and look at it. We learned that by doing a few shows in the beginning and not realizing that was available.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff is very helpful, because the more you can get the name out there and the marketing out there that you're going to be there and let your customers know and let people know who you are before the show even begins,
mm-hmm.
I think that's quite helpful.
And you know what my tip was, when you're at the show, don't sit on your butt.
Don't sit.
Okay, because most of the shows give you, like, two chairs. I tell the crew, take them away, because I watch other, you know, booths, and they'll sit behind their displays, and they'll let the people come to them. And when you're out there and you say, you know, can I show you a lotion bar? And these are people that are about to walk by your booth.
Right.
And if you bring them in and start talking to them, suddenly you have a sale.
Right.
So, you know, you don't want to be, you know, there's that fine line of being, you know, aggressive and mm-hmm. being assertive.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be assertive because these people are busy, and they just glance, and a lot of people think we just sell soaps, which, by the way, Deb didn't get a chance to mention, we have a great line of natural soaps
mm-hmm.
and lip balms and liquid lotions in our product line.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hey, you're paying the money for the booth.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well talk to people. So my best advice is throw the chairs away and be noticed.
That's a good one. Throw the chairs away, get some comfortable shoes, and sort of, you know, the watchword would be organization and assertiveness.
Right.
Those are really great tips. Debbie and Bill Brink of PureEnchantment.com. Thank you so much for joining us. I want you to... you know, keep up all the great work. I know a lot of people are inspired and encouraged by your story, and we really appreciate you taking the time to share it. Thanks for joining today. All you listeners out there, I want you to visit IndieBusinessRadio.com, where you'll be able to download or stream this and all the radio shows I've had with so many great guests who have been inspiring and encouraging all of us to enjoy life, build business, and have our way. And I also would like to invite you to visit our blog at indiebusinessblog.com. We are giving away entries to win a $100 gift certificate from Staples. Go to indiebusinessblog.com and check it out. And I want to tell you what's coming up on Indie Business Radio over the next couple of weeks. On September 10th, Sean Gilliland will be here to tell us how to mind our manners, how proper etiquette can enhance your business. On September 17th, the authors of a new book called Work It Girl will be here to tell us how women of color achieve professional success. And on September 24th, the Indie Beauty Network's own author and member, Dawn Fitch of Puka Pure and Simple, will be here to share her tips on how to achieve success in the indie beauty business industry. I hope you guys will be here for that. I will be here, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you then. Until then, this is Donna Maria signing off. Enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.